People say, well, if God is love, he doesn't send me to hell. God is love and he won't send you to hell, but you can send yourself there pretty easy by just being stubborn and not accepting the love of Christ from the cross and his resurrection.
On the cross, the debt for sin has been paid. On today's Word, Pastor Brett Metter says all you have to do is accept it.
The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news. It's a gift that God wants to give you. All you've got to do is receive the gift. Take it.
Peter 1 assures this promise, declaring, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable. On today's Word, we'll see how that's just one of the many eternal benefits the resurrection of Jesus afforded us that Pastor Brett Metter says is cause for celebration this Easter season.
The resurrection means so much. In fact, one of the things the resurrection means, I'm going to go over some benefits of the resurrection. What does it have to do with me, you might say? Well, the first benefit of the resurrection is that Christ is proven to be who he claimed to be. Proof positive that he was the Messiah, that Jesus is God in the flesh who died and had power over death because he rose from the grave. Romans chapter 1 says, and Jesus declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. What declared Jesus as the Son of God with power? His resurrection declared that. Proof positive. But another benefit with the resurrection is proving Christ's sovereignty and his lordship over life and death, that Christ is powerful. In fact, it's Romans 14:9. It says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Now, when we look at this word dead, are we talking about dead getting hit by a truck or dead eternal death in hell? It's the eternal death in hell one. And who's the Lord of life or death after death? Eternal death, eternal life, who's the Lord of that? Jesus is, because this is the end or the reason for the resurrection. To this end, he both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord of the living and of the dead. See, the word Lord here is kind of an interesting word. In the Greek text of the original Bible, the New Testament, the word Lord, the Greek word there is a hard word to pronounce, kyrieo, which means to rule, lord over, to be the master of, and have authority over. And this verse is telling us that Jesus Christ has lordship over life and death, eternal. He's the Lord of all. Sovereign. Jesus Christ is sovereign. The word sovereign is kind of the same thing. Supreme power and authority is sovereignty. And Jesus has that. So the first benefit, the resurrection proves that he is who he claimed to be. The second benefit is that it shows his sovereignty over life and death, eternal life, and over eternal death. The third benefit comes from this verse in Romans 4:25, and it deals with justification. It says, Jesus Christ, who was delivered for our offenses, that's sins, and was raised again for our justification. The word justification there is the operative word. It's one of my favorite doctrinal words. It really means this. It's an act of God whereby he pronounces a sinner like you or a sinner like me, he pronounces us righteous, like we were perfect. He's the judge who pronounces you sinless. You're like, how does that happen? Through justification. It's an act of God whereby he pronounces the sinner to be righteous because that sinner puts his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And if you do that, then you become justified. Maybe you've heard me say justification equals just as if you've never sinned at all. Justification, just as if you never sinned. See, that's not the definition, but it does tell what justification does. Justification makes you as if you'd never sinned at all. And what's so good about becoming a Christian is he remembers your sins no more, he forgives you, and the Lord says, I'm going to justify you, declare you righteous. And this verse says, he did this, he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Had Jesus not raised up from the grave, you and I would not be justified. We'd still be in our sins and we'd be in big trouble. So man, whether it's sovereignty of Jesus, justification by Jesus, the resurrection proves that Jesus was who he claimed to be. The fourth benefit is that our very salvation that saves you, it sticks, it lasts. It can't be shaken off. I mean, when you think about stuff that lasts or doesn't last, there's very few things in this world that last. Man, you get that shiny new car smell, it's great, right up until you go through the McDonald's drive-thru. It ruins the new car smell from the very get-go. You smell like greasy fries from that day forward. That's life, and that's pretty much everything. In fact, it's part of the laws of physics, the second law of thermodynamics. Everything goes from order to disorder. That's just the way. But I love that you and I, when we talk about what Jesus did and his resurrection, it's a promise that's lasting and it sticks. And even you and your sins can't shake it. What do you mean, Brett? Well, this is where we read about this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It said, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he hath caused us to be born again." And I want you to remember those two words, born again. Now, we're going to talk about that in a second. That's a big deal in the Bible, being born again. So it's caused us to be born again to a living hope. Again, Jesus is the only living hope. Muhammad's a dead hope. Joseph Smith, dead hope. Krishna, dead hope. All these religious leaders and starters of new religions, dead, dead, dead. But Jesus, he's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. Two, what are we risen to? To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and kept in heaven for you. For you to receive an inheritance, what's something that needs to happen? Somebody's got to die. And you know, it's funny, as a pastor of many years and done a lot of funerals and helped people through, you know, wills and stuff, I found that a lot of the inheritances, even if it's money, it's such a bummer. It's always a bummer. People get mad at each other and siblings argue. And then if grandpa left you the barn with all the, what he thought were treasures, but you went in there and you got the pole barn. Great. You go in there. Wow. I'm going to have to eBay all this junk and you're not going to get anything for it. Well, but your grandpa told you, well, I got this computer. It was $5,000 when I bought this computer back in 82. It's just inheritances of this world really aren't all that great. But the inheritance that we get from Christ, you see, that's that second part of this. The living hope that we have to an inheritance that is what? Imperishable, undefiled, unfading, and it's kept for you in heaven. And when the Bible says something's kept for you in heaven, they're not going to lose it. You're not going to get to heaven and go, I'm here, I made it, I was a Christian, I accepted Jesus. Oh man, our documents here don't show that you have an inheritance. Sorry, our bad. Oh well. No, there's an inheritance for anyone who's born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ. And everybody needs some kind of hope, and this is the best hope that's real. It's a real hope, a living hope, an inheritance that means we get to have that salvation in heaven. But fifth benefit that also comes from the resurrection is that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the same power that raises you and me up from the grave. The reason I say that is it takes power to do that, to raise up after you're dead, to raise up from the grave, and it's not in your power that that's going to happen. We read that plainly there in Romans 8:11, where it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. If you're a Christian, if you've been born again, the Spirit of God is now in you, and that same powerful Spirit that's in you is the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead. That's what happens. The believer has the Spirit of God in them. Paul said, what? Don't you know that your body is a temple to the Holy Ghost? That same Spirit is the one that raises you up to eternal life. And basically, every blessing from, you know, if you would, the silver thread of the resurrection runs through all the blessings of the Bible, from your very salvation onward to your eternal glory in heaven. But that binds it all together. The resurrection of Christ, without that, no good thing would happen. But because of the resurrection, we get to have life eternal. Job and his buddies in Job 14:14 asked, when a man dies, will he live again? They were trying to figure that out. Is there life after death? And this has been a question that has challenged people throughout all of history. Mary and Martha's brother died and they were sad. When Jesus made his way to Bethany, on the way, Martha ran up to him. Oh, Jesus, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus said something that was pretty profound to her. And I'm not sure she knew exactly what to say. Jesus said unto her, verse 25 of John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then he asks her the question, believest thou this, Martha? Do you believe this? Do you guys remember Martha's answer? It was kind of funny. She sort of hems and haws. She's like, I believe in the resurrection, that once you die, the body, and she kind of goes into this thing, but she doesn't just absolutely say, yes, I absolutely believe that you are the resurrection and life. See, Jesus is making a massive, huge claim right here. When he says, I am the resurrection and the life, he's not saying, I'll show you the resurrection, or I'll hope that you raise up from the grave. Jesus is really saying, I am the embodiment of the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. And if you believe in me, though you were dead, yet shall he live. This lines up with everything. The famous verse of the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Because Jesus, if you believe in him, it says this, if you believe in me, Jesus said, though you were dead, yet shall you live. Do you believe that Jesus rose from the grave and that he's not just a way to heaven, but he is the resurrection and the life. He's the embodiment of resurrection power. That's what the Bible teaches. And this is the most important question today, right here, right now, that every person has to answer. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Yes. People like to say, in our culture, oh yeah, we're all God's children. There's this kind of ecumenical thing. Oh, we're all, Muslims and Christians, we're all the same and we worship really the same God. No. Oh, we're all God's creation, and it's true enough, God loves us all. God loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten son. But we are not all God's children. To be called God's child, you have to make sure God is your father. And to make sure that God is your father, God will not become your father until you're born into his family. Well, Brett, how can I change who I'm born in? Well, that's where this born again idea comes in. We were born into the Adam and Eve world. We were born into sin and death and destruction and disease and all kinds of stuff. That's where we were born. That was physical birth into eternal death. But because of Christ who died and won back power over death from Satan on the cross, suddenly you have a chance to not just have that bad option of death and hell, but you can become a child of God and part of God's family. And God doesn't allow his children to be thrown into hell. What makes you a child of God? Jesus taught this to Nick at night. Nicodemus, the Pharisee who came to Jesus at nighttime. There in John chapter 3. And as Nicodemus was trying to figure out the whole Jesus thing, Jesus said, verily, verily, which is a way of saying, man, this is really, really true what I'm about to say and important. He says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I want to stress the importance of this. Would you agree, if you just take this verse right here, is being born again important? Because it says, if you're not born again, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, which is another way of saying you cannot see heaven. So if I were you, I'd be really interested in what does it mean to be born again? Well, Nicodemus hears Jesus say this, you must be born again. And he says, oh man, you mean you gotta climb back into your mother's womb and be born a second time? And Jesus said, oh, are you really a teacher in Israel? That's what he said, it's a true story. He was supposed to be one of the smartest guys in the town. And Jesus said, are you kidding? You don't know the answer to this? But Jesus talked about being born of the flesh versus being born of the spirit. And while all of us, every one of us experienced physical birth, but the Bible talks about a spiritual birth. You have a birthday that people celebrate when you were born in your physical birth. The question I would ask, do you have a birthday of spiritual birth? When you became part of the family of God, was he your father? And are you a child of God because you did what you needed to do to become? Well, the Bible even says we are adopted. It's a doctrine of adoption. You and I have been taken into the family of God. If you have come to a place to acknowledge you're a sinner and you need to repent of your sins and accept the work of the cross and believe that Jesus died and rose from the grave. And when you make that confession and have that belief, you then are suddenly born spiritually again. You're a rebirthed new person in Christ and you have a new birthday. See, I do worry about sometimes people saying, well, I've been going to church all my life. I've listened to sermons and took notes and you know, I gave to the United Way and I don't kick the dog and I'm a pretty nice guy. And so I think I'm pretty much saved. I'm a child of God. Well, don't be so quick about that. Were you ever born again? Did you ever accept the work of the cross and believe? Are you really called a child of God? 1 John 3:1-2 tells us this. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us or bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. Do you ever feel like as a Christian, people look at you and go, what's weird? What's wrong with you, Christian? They don't get us. Don't be surprised by that. They didn't get Jesus either. And Jesus, you know, his word tells us this. He says, we're called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not because it knew him not. So don't be shocked when the world doesn't get you. Beloved, verse 2, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Boy, I look forward to that. I want to be more like Jesus, but I fail at that every single day. I want to be more like Jesus, but I have something I look forward to, because for those of us that have been born again and are called the children of God, there's a day coming when we see him, we will be like him. That's going to be a glorious time. I look forward to that. Okay, Brett, so I got it. You're talking about all this stuff, the resurrection. It shows that God is sovereign through his son Jesus, who he raised up from the grave, proving his claims of who he is, but also providing justification, just as if we'd never sinned. Plus, the resurrection proves that it's going to last, because it's not based on works that you and I do, but the work that he did on the cross, that he died and he rose from the grave. That's all great for you religionists and Christians, but I'm kind of happy the way I am. I like living my life. You guys be Christians, and I believe, like you, that God is love and gracious and merciful. And if he is love and gracious, then he'll just sneak me into heaven, and I'll go to heaven, and I'll see you there when we get there. And well, can I just tell you, you better hope you're right on that, even though the Bible says totally the opposite. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father which is in heaven, but by me. Exclusivity. The world says that's narrow-minded to say that you have to go through Jesus to be saved, but that's what the Bible teaches. There's an old Indiana tombstone. Speaking of tombstones, in Indiana, there's this kind of creepy graveyard where this big old ominous grave is, but it's a big one. And the inscription, the epitaph says this, pause, stranger, when you pass me by. As you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me. Well, the old tombstone, somebody took a rock and scratched on the bottom section underneath that inscription. It said, to follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went. You see, when you die, you will either resurrect to life or resurrect to death, eternal death. Which way are you gonna go? Do you know where you're gonna go? The question is, have you been born again? And if you're one, say, no, good for you guys, you can do your thing. But you have to understand that rejecting Jesus and not accepting the cross and his death and burial and resurrection, you really have not made the right choice. You're choosing death over life. People say, well, if God is love, he doesn't send me to hell. God is love and he won't send you to hell, but if you can send yourself there pretty easy by just being stubborn and not accepting the love of Christ from the cross and his resurrection. And so this idea of the resurrection, you say, Brett, well, then what do I need to do? If I want to be born again, what does that look like? Well, let's boil it down. It's so simple. Even a three-year-old can get this. I love it. The first thing the Bible really makes clear and you need to know is, first, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, the Bible says, not even one person. And that's the first thing you got to get. Because then you got to repent of that and say, I am a sinner and I acknowledge that I am just that, not righteous. I fall short. And the brutal part is that there's a wage, a cost for your sin. And that's where Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. But then the good news comes in the second half of Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the good news. A gift. It's a gift that God wants to give you. All you've got to do is receive the gift. Take it. How do you do that? Well, that's where we get into Romans chapter 10. In the simplest of terms, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To make it even more clear, I mean, this is kind of the gospel in a nutshell. You're a sinner. The cost of sin is eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, born again. How do you do that? Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. I think this is the final verse I'll show you. If you confess with your mouth, component number one, you gotta confess. With the mouth, confession is made, you know, to salvation. So number one, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Number two component, believe in your heart. The word heart in the Bible means your soul, your inner man, yourself, your part of you that thinks and feels inside of you. So you confess with your mouth, but you also believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Why is that the thing that's required? What if you just say, I believe Jesus died on the cross? Well, you're not really encompassing the whole thing. When you say, I believe that Jesus rose from the grave, you're also saying, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins and proved all those things we talked about because he rose from the grave. So that's the requirement. To be born again, you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus up from the dead, and it says, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believes to righteousness, that's that justification, and with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. That's saved from hell, going to heaven. Why would anyone not accept such a glorious gift? It's only a stubborn, stingy human person that says, I don't need that, I can do it myself. Oh, it's such a dastardly way of thinking. When we have a loving Jesus who came and died and rose again and then says, I'll offer for free for you to confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, accept what I've done that you might have eternal life. May no one miss that beautiful, glorious opportunity to be saved. And may the Lord give us ears to hear what his Spirit says to his church.
Pastor Brett Metter proclaiming the good news of the gospel and celebrating this Easter week on Today's Word. Well, I trust you'll stay with us as Pastor Brett will be back to join me in just a moment. But first, if you don't know our teacher, let me introduce you to Brett Metter. He's the senior pastor of Athey Creek Church, just south of Portland in Westland, Oregon. Brett has been the pastor of Athey Creek for almost 30 years, where the church has grown to one of the largest in the Pacific Northwest. We'd like to invite you to listen each day at the same time for more of Today's Word. If you've missed any portion of our study, you can find all of Pastor Brett's messages, including this one, online at todaysword.com. You can also watch full video messages from Pastor Brett by going to todayswordradio.com. I also want to mention, if you're in the Portland, Oregon area and don't have a church home of your own, we have some special services this Easter weekend. Just go to todayswordradio.com for more information. That's todayswordradio.com. Well, I have Pastor Brett with me now, and Brett, there may be somebody listening who thinks, well, they're a good person, they don't sin very much, and because of that, they believe they'll go to heaven when they die. What would you say to that person?
Well, you know, the Bible declares that we all are sinners, and you know, the older I get, the more I realize, you know, I really have sinned as much as anybody, and even what constitutes sin in the Bible, we think it's, you know, somebody who's murdered someone. Well, that is sin. But the Bible, Jesus even upped the stakes there in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, if you even have anger in your heart toward a brother, you're guilty of murder. And so the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount makes us realize, wow, we're all kind of condemned in our sins. But the good news is, you know, God loves us so much that while we were in our sins, the Bible says there in Romans, while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. So Jesus is the one that forgives us of our sins. And so one of the most important things a person can come to is that realization that I'm a sinner in need of forgiveness. And the only real forgiveness comes through Jesus Christ.
Well, Pastor Brett, if there's that one person listening right now who would like that forgiveness, how can they receive that?
That's a simple answer. The Bible says just to repent. That means to change your mind and say, I know I'm a sinner, and then confess Christ and believe that he died on the cross, that he rose from the grave for your sins. And then there in Romans 10:9, it says, you will be saved.
Well, thank you, Pastor Brett. And friend, if you just made that commitment to follow Jesus, we have some next steps that will help. There's a page on our website that will provide encouragement and support as you begin this relationship as a follower of Jesus. Just go to todayswordradio.com and click on the link New Believer. That's todayswordradio.com and click the link New Believer. Well, that's all the time we have for today. I hope you can join us again as we continue this week leading up to Good Friday and Easter and look at the resurrection of Jesus. Today's Word with Pastor Brett Metter is an outreach of Athey Creek Church in West Lynn, Oregon.